Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Jolly Flicks Podcast. My name is Lisa, and thank you for joining us this evening, morning, afternoon, whatever time of day it is. Last week, I did a poll on my Instagram trying to figure out which popular Disney Christmas movie to do, and there was animation ones on there, there was live action, and the winner was The Santa Claus, and so that's the movie that we're going to be reviewing today. I am absolutely excited for this one, one of my favorite movies, Christmas movies of all time, so let's go ahead and get into it. The Santa Claus runs at an hour and 37 minutes and is rated PG. The synopsis goes a little something like this. Divorced dad, Scott, has custody of his son on Christmas Eve. After he accidentally kills a man in a Santa suit, they are magically transported to the North Pole, where an elf explains that Scott must take Santa's place before the next Christmas arrives. Scott thinks he's dreaming, but over the next several months, he gains weight and grows an inexplicably white beard. Maybe that night at the North Pole wasn't a dream after all. And maybe Scott has a lot of work to do. So like I said, this movie is rated PG. You can watch it on Disney Plus. It came out on November 11th, 1994. Our director is John Paskin. And there are two sequels to this film, The Santa Claus 2 and The Santa Claus 3, as well as an adapted TV series called The Santa Clauses. It was distributed by Walt Disney Pictures, Walt Disney Studios Motion Pictures, Hollywood Pictures, and FilmFlix. The box office made $190.3 million. Jumping into our actors and actresses for this film, playing Santa Claus / Scott Calvin is Tim Allen. You may know him from the TV series Home Improvement or, in recent years, Last Man Standing. He is also the voice of Buzz on Toy Story, The Santa Claus 2, Wild Hogs, and he also starred in Christmas with the Cranks, which we have already reviewed. Our next actor is Eric Lloyd. He plays Charlie Calvin. He was in the movie Dunstan Checks In, The Santa Claus 2, The Santa Claus 3, the TV series Jesse, Luminous Motion. Next we have David Krumholtz as Bernard, the head elf. He is seen in the movie Oppenheimer, 10 Things I Hate About You, Lousy Carter, and appeared in the TV show Numbers. Next, we have Judge Reinhold playing Neil Miller. He is known for playing in Beverly Hills Cop, Beverly Hills Cop 2, Beverly Hills Cop Axel F, Beverly Hills Cop 3, also starred in Fast Times at Ridgemont High, as well as the rest of the Santa Claus series. And lastly, we have Wendy Crewson, who plays Laura Miller. She starred in the movie Better Than Chocolate, Air Force One, An Unexpected Love, Mercy, The Good Son, also the rest of the Santa Claus series, The Sixth Day, Getting Married in Buffalo, and Buffalo Jump. And all of these actors are fantastic. I think they worked very well together. So whoever did the casting crew, fabulous job. So let's go ahead and dive into my personal thoughts. I think this movie had the absolute perfect amount of nostalgia and humor. Tim Allen is just an all-star comedian anyways, and as we saw in Christmas with the Cranks, he takes his characters very seriously and just rolls with it and develops the character's personality as it goes. And I mean, that's with any actor and actress, but I think he kind of gives it the extra effort, which I really like. This is also the first movie we are reviewing with an actual Santa as the main character. And so it's kind of cool because, yes, we all know the idea of Santa, but when we can have an actual visual to kind of relate what we think Santa looks like, this movie portrays that very well. And they didn't overdo it. They kind of went along with the stereotypes for Santa Claus, which I really enjoyed. I also love how they tie in Scott's job similar to being Santa. So, you know, they talk about he makes toys. Well, you know, he worked for a corporation that makes toys. And then that Christmas is the busy season, which obviously for a toy corporation, Christmas would be a busy season as well. And we see him actually address that when he's in Charlie's class for a career day. Like all the parents go in and Charlie's like, yeah, Neil, I want my dad to go first. Thanks. So it was kind of cool how they even mention that without you having to kind of realize it. I also love the father-son dynamic in this movie, which we talked about last week with Jingle All the Way, that there was a father-son dynamic, but it wasn't very focused. Like, we knew that's what it was centered around because he wants to be the boy's hero and everything like that. However, in this movie, you know, we see it start off very patchy. You know, he's like, do I have to stay here, Mom? Like, I don't want to stay here. So obviously, prior to Christmas Eve, him and his dad were just on bad terms. And, you know, coming from a divorced family, I can imagine it's really hard. And you maybe not necessarily don't want to be with your dad, but you don't want to be away from your mom. Like, you wish it could just be together. And so maybe that's what they were also trying to do as well. But obviously, you know, they start off patchy, but then it turns into Scott becoming his hero because Santa Claus is, you know, a figure of giving hope and enjoyment and happiness, which is just super sweet. And, you know, going back to the whole divorce thing, like maybe this was Charlie's first happiness since the divorce. He's like, oh my gosh, yes, like my dad Santa, like I believe in magic again, like I believe this is all real. Because obviously in the storyline, there Neil and his mom were trying to convince Charlie, no, there's literally no Santa Claus. And he's like, yes, there is, like I can prove it, I can show you everything. And so for me also, why are you killing a child's happiness? Like, if he wants to believe and like insist that he knows that there's a Santa, just let it ride out. He's five. I think he's like five or six. Like, come on. Just let it be. I also love how they show Scott's transition from not being Santa Claus to becoming Santa Claus. And you see it obviously physically, but you kind of also see like, you see it within his mental capacity and his emotions as well. You know, he starts seeing people on the street and he's like, oh yeah, naughty, nice, naughty, nice. And then he knows what toys the kids want. And then the kids start adjusting to him and they're like, whoa, like, no, that's Santa. Like, I know in my heart that's Santa. So I think it's super sweet showing the transition throughout the entire movie. I also, this is my last thought, but I really love how they mention the other Santa names around the globe. So they're kind of being like culturally inclusive. When he's in the jail cell and he's being interrogated, they're like, name, Santa Claus. Name, Père Noël. Name, Kris Kringle. Name, Popo Shisho. So, you know, I really like how Disney or whoever the writing crew is incorporated that within the movie. Like, I think that's super special and it kind of helps like other cultures watching this movie. They're like, oh, like we're included too. It's not just like the United States or whoever like see Santa Claus as being Santa Claus. Like, it's not just that figure. Like, they're relating to us with the names that we use as well. So let's talk about my favorite scene It's kind of a heartfelt one, but I absolutely love when everyone realizes that Scott actually is Santa. And you can see the twinkle in Neil and Laura's eyes, because obviously we know, like, Charlie has already known for like over a year now. But, you know, Neil and Laura had talked earlier. She was about, like, when they stopped believing, and he was like, I wanted an Oscar Mayer weenie whistle. And then Laura was like, yeah, I really wanted, I think it was Mystery Date or something like that. And so I think it's super sweet that they look at him when he's Santa and they're like, oh my gosh, like, it hits them like a ton of bricks. Like, you really are him. And then it pans out to where he's up the chimney because the police come in, and then he drops the gifts down to them, and they got the gifts that the Santa at their young age never gave them. And I just think that's absolutely sweet. So let's dive into Frosty's five fun facts. So this movie was originally supposed to be called Such a Clatter, and it was a darker story where Scott shoots Santa. Obviously, we know this is a Disney movie, and that's a big no-no. No-no, we're not going to shoot Santa. Like, it's bad enough that Scott made him fall off the roof and practically killed him. But, yeah, I have a hard time seeing this movie as being dark. And maybe if it was someone else other than Disney, because everybody's making revamps of all the movies nowadays, I would not be surprised if they tried turning this movie into a dark movie. With, obviously, it would have to be a different cast. There's no way that they could use the same cast. But that would be interesting. But I also wouldn't watch it because it would just ruin this for me. The next fun fact I have for you guys is this was Tim Allen's first movie lead role. So this came out in 1994. Toy Story came out in 1995. So that's when that would be like the first like movie lead. He starred in TV before 1994, obviously with Home Improvement. And they actually didn't really want Tim Allen to be the head role because they were like, well, he's not a movie guy. He's never been in a movie before. He's only been in TV, so he would just be used to the sitcom setup. But obviously, Tim Allen proved them wrong. However, the three top actors that were considered for the part in this film were Mel Gibson, Bill Murray, and Tom Hanks. Looking at all three of them, maybe Bill Murray, just because he kind of has the same humor as Tim Allen. But I couldn't see either of the other two. Maybe Mel Gibson, if it was the Such a Clatter version, but not this Santa Claus version. Tim Allen had to be in time out to control his bad language a lot while filming. I think I remember seeing it, and I don't know, like, you know how they show you the bloopers and outtakes and everything? I think it's in the third movie. They show him where they're like, he's doing a scene and they have to do the beep, 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 beep. So maybe they were like, get it all out and, you know, be done with it. But yeah, he would have to go to timeout to control his language because obviously he was working around a bunch of kids. So if I had a guess, he was only cussing because like he couldn't remember his lines or something like that. I really have no idea. The fourth fact I have for you is the movie was filmed in the summer. So Tim would get 4 to 5 hours of makeup and wardrobe done and applied. And obviously, if you guys think back to The Grinch, how I told you Jim Carrey had to sit for hours on end to get that makeup applied and everything. Tim's wasn't as bad. He just had to have like a really heavy fat suit on. And, you know, like they had to make the hair look realistic in the beard and his actual hair on his head. And he described it as being a maddening process. So maybe they kind of gave him the same advice like they did Jim Carrey for like sitting still, you know, just chewing gum, or I think they told Jim Carrey to like smoke a cigarette or something. Like, yeah, so maybe they had to do the same process with him. But yeah, 4 to 5 hours is crazy. And obviously that fat suit isn't really cool in the summer, so maybe they would change it. But nowadays, but probably not. And then the last fact I have for you is Peter Boyle, who played the head corporate president or whatever. He was Scott's boss at the beginning of the film. He has two different parts in the trilogy. So like I just said, he plays the boss man in the first one. And in the second and third movie, he is the one that plays Father Time. And apparently it was uncredited, which I don't understand why they would uncredit him, because he had plenty of speaking lines, but whatever. I don't understand how that works, but very interesting. They were like, we like you, come on back, we'll give you a different role, because obviously he's not going to be working for you anytime soon, but we want to include you somehow. Now let's get into our tinsel time. So all positive things this week. Not like I'm surprised in any way. I had one person say, I like this movie. Someone said, really good movie. Haven't watched it in a few years. Well, just advice. Maybe turn it on this year. The next person left a pretty lengthy one, but I really like it. Can't remember. I really like it because of Tim Allen himself. Right? Tim Allen, like, practically makes the movie. But they also said, it also portrayed a great little family dynamic that's so nostalgic now. As an adult, it's almost comforting. Which, you know, it's kind of hard going to that family dynamic thing. I feel like sometimes it's hard to show the positives of a divorced family. And I mean, this movie touched on the positives and the negatives. They showed the court scenes. They showed the, you know, for like custody and everything like that. And spending time at one parent's house and then the other. And just the whole thing. I feel like that's such a touchy subject. But the writers and the directors took that dynamic and really like played it out in such a good way, so you could see all sides of it. I had another person say great series, and another person said it's a Christmas classic. So I absolutely agree with all of these. It's really hard to pick out the bad in this film, which I know for some of you, maybe you're like, oh nope, let me give you a list. But however, it's really hard for me to see past my own thoughts and ideas. So let's go to Santa's scale. I'm giving this movie, The Santa Claus, the first Santa Claus, a 10 out of 10. I think that's my second or third 10 out of 10. But absolutely, I think this is my third. Obviously, hands down, one of the best go-to Christmas movies you could ever watch. It has the great nostalgia feeling. They really capture the family dynamic, like I was just talking about, in multiple different perspectives. And just seeing it come together as a whole. And just like even the adult life, right? Scott's used to his life going one way, and then just like something takes an unexpected turn and he's learning to adjust and adapt. And I think we also kind of overlook that portion of it as well. You know, sometimes you wake up and you're like, no, that's hard to believe that that's what's happening. But no, I mean, in life, we all have to learn how to figure out the news and deal with the old and just continue on. So that wraps up our review portion of this movie. I am so excited that we did this film and that was the one that was chosen out of the most likes. So this week, to make our decision for our next review, I am going back to my Tiny Decisions Maker, but we are taking it back to the 80s, guys. So I have about 8 different movies on here for our Wheel of Decisions, all popular Christmas movies from the 80s. I've only watched a handful of them and maybe partial of the other ones, but our list is Christmas Vacation, A Christmas Story, Scrooged, Prancer, The Christmas Star, The Christmas Gift, Santa Claus, and A Christmas Carol. So let's go ahead and see what our movie will be. A Christmas Carol. I didn't really look to see who was in it. I've watched the original A Christmas Carol. I've watched the Disney animated with Jim Carrey. I don't think I've watched this one, and I believe it's live action. So super excited to watch it. I'm always up for watching new movies. And thank you all for tuning in. I just want to give a shout out. I know I have a couple more countries out there that I haven't recognized yet. Thank you for listening. We have people in Brazil, Mexico, Russia, and a couple more popping up from Germany and India. So thank you all so much for watching, or not watching, listening. Really appreciate it. And we'll see you guys next time.